From an undisclosed location in the kingdom of Blaine Knight, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program. Be warned, this is the radio show the government doesn't want you to hear. And now, here's the provocative and popular Junior Miller.
Greetings from off the grid. The sun has just set, and what a beautiful sunset it was. And now we are up and running another edition of Junior Coast to Coast. Good evening, and welcome to a special compound edition of Junior Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Junior Miller, here from parts unknown. For those of you who have listened to this show before, welcome back. For you newcomers, this show is the show that the government doesn't want you to listen to. Because on this program, we talk about things that the mainstreamers sweep under the rug. They pretend didn't happen or don't exist. We'll discuss things like Bigfoot. And coming up in 20 minutes, we again will be honored to have the great Larry Batson on the program. Our last edition of Coast to Coast was in December, and Larry joined us. The listening audience loved hearing Larry's information. And Larry will be back with us again at 8:30 this evening. He is the preeminent Sasquatch expert in North America. So stay tuned for that. At 8:50, we'll talk about one of our favorite subjects here on Coast to Coast, UFOs. We have a staff member at this very radio station who had an encounter with a UFO very recently, and he'll join us to tell us that story. We will, of course, discuss urine. A topic that for most is taboo for some reason, but we on this program believe it should be a part of your emergency diet at the very least, and probably a part of your daily diet. It has powerful properties, which we will explore later in the program. Now, this show deals with the paranormal, space aliens, ghosts, shadow people, different dimensions, Sasquatch, Nessie, time traveling, ancient civilizations that are still, perhaps, civilized, and, of course, anal probing. We'll attempt to get to all of those topics at some point tonight. That is, as long as the government lets us broadcast. I've already noticed in the sky above us, over this beautiful sunset, the unsightly sight of government drones. Now, we have the Cumulus cloaking device up and running, and I am fairly sure that it is keeping our broadcast shielded from these government drones, but I cannot promise you, the faithful listener, that the cloaking device will be adequate throughout the entirety of this presentation. In fact, right now, in my vision, I see two government drones. If you were with us last year from this very location, you probably remember that the government troops came in and shut us down at the end of the broadcast. We are prepared to fight this time. I don't want to give too much away, but we will not go down as easily or turn off our broadcast signal as readily as we did last year. I'm broadcasting with a heavy heart tonight. This is the first Junior Coast to Coast since the passing of the great Art Bell. And I would like to apologize right now if I get a little choked up from time to time as I eulogize my friend and mentor. It may happen. Please bear with me. I have fond memories of first discovering Art Bell's program, the original Coast to Coast. I'd be driving in my car late at night, listening to Art, discussing time traveling, UFOs. He was a very patient man, and nothing was too ridiculous for Art to listen to. Now, he didn't suffer fools, but to Art, everybody had a story that was worth at least a couple of minutes' time. And I've tried to carry that tradition forward here on Junior Coast to Coast. And a story that I've never told before, but that I will share with you tonight, now that Art is in his final resting place, and I'm sure he wouldn't mind me sharing this with you. Many years ago, he invited me to his lair in the Nevada desert. We spent a week together, and oh, what a glorious week it was. He imparting his wisdom and teaching me how to professionally and properly conduct a coast-to-coast show. That man. That man taught me to respect the disrespected. He taught me to understand the misunderstood. And he taught me to believe the unbelievable. Art Bell taught me the ins and outs of paranormal radio. And when our week was over, and what a glorious week it was, he handed me the keys to his kingdom. He grabbed me by the lapels of my t-shirt, looked into my frightened visage, and said, "You are the chosen one. I will not be around for much longer," his words. "And I want you to carry on my legacy." He then looked down and said, "I damn sure don't want George Norrie to do it, so you better not let me down." We embraced. I turned around and I walked down his driveway. I got onto my tricycle and I pedaled away at 8 miles an hour. And that was the last time I saw Art. Probably six years ago. And all I can say today is that, Artie, and I know you're listening, I hope I'm doing you proud. So right now, let's all honor Art Bell with a moment of silence.
Paul in...
That didn't go as I wanted, but I think Art appreciated the effort. Art was a character. I tell you what, that guy was a character. He was married 4 times. I knew all of his wives: Aaron, Ramona, Vicky, and Sachiko Taguchi Bell Pontius. That was his last wife. Art, he had a type. He preferred the Asian beauty. And they were all great women. Except for the couple he divorced and told me some stories about, but we're not going to get into that here. And then there's the topic of Art's death. Very mysterious, as you might imagine. And the cause of death listed is somewhat unbelievable. Now, Art had suffered from some health problems over the years. The cause of death was listed, though, as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Yeah, right. And if you believe that, I've got some beachfront property in Florida I'd like to sell to you this evening. Just shoot me an email. $1 million, there's no title, but don't worry about it. I don't believe that for 1 minute. If you know Art like I know Art, sorry, new Art, that man was about to break something big. And like on this show, I know that Art experienced the government trying to shut him down, trying to silence him, trying to get to him, trying to brainwash him, trying to make him one of theirs. And I know Art wouldn't stand for it. And my theory is that Art knew too much. And I believe the government silenced him. I know that's quite an accusation, but that's what I'm accusing the government of doing. Silencing a dear friend and a National Radio Hall of Famer. And I know what you're thinking. Do I think a similar fate is headed my way? Oh, sure. I think about that all the time. But it takes a little courage. It takes a little bravery to do something truly special, truly game-changing, truly spectacular. And that's what we're trying to do here as we carry on the tradition of Art Bell on Junior Coast to Coast. So if they want to come and get me, come and get me. But this guy's not going down without a fight. Look at that drone. It's coming a little closer. Hey, screw you! Screw you! I'd like to move on to a topic, our first paranormal topic. And that is a topic that I know Art would have absolutely loved us talking about right after we eulogized him. It's a topic that came up on his show from time to time. And that is shape-shifting and the lizard people. Now, I saw a very interesting study done by the internet. And they polled and estimated the number of Americans that believe in conspiracies or paranormal topics. For example, 160 million Americans believe JFK was killed by conspiracy. That's about half of our population in this country. 116 million Americans believe global warming is a hoax. Only 91 million Americans believe aliens exist. I know everybody listening to this program counts in that 91 million. And you're smarter for it. But only a third of our population in this country believes aliens exist. How can you not? I don't know. 65 million believe a UFO crashed at Roswell. 47 million people believe the government controls minds with television. I don't doubt that for a minute, and I know you don't doubt it either. Our guest Larry, coming up at 8:30, can address this. 43 million Americans believe Bigfoot exists. That's only 15% of our population. That's a big number, 43 million. But the percentage is too small, and maybe Larry will make some believers out of non-believers coming up at 8:30. 28 million believe fluoride is dangerous, and that's why the government puts it in our water. 21.9 million believe the moon landing was faked. And 12.5 million people believe lizard people control politics. That's right, 4% of our population in this country. In other words, for every 100 people you pass on the street, 4 of them believe lizard people control politics. And let me give you some details about lizard people. Now, sometimes you hear them referred to as shapeshifters. There are those that believe that lizards or aliens or ghosts are able to shapeshift. And there is a large percentage of our population that believes that shapeshifters run the United States government. Well, in this particular form, the lizard people, it's not necessarily shapeshifting. And this was described by a website on the internet. And I quote, "Thousands of years ago, the reptilian beings from the constellations Orion, Sirius, and Draco intervened on planet Earth and began interbreeding with humans. Not physically, however, but rather through the manipulation of the human coding or DNA. Humans, thus, have fundamental reptilian genetics within their brain, within our brain. You've heard the term lizard brain. That's where it comes from. It comes from the fact that thousands of years ago, reptilian beings from other constellations came here and interbreeded with us. So, how do you spot somebody that has lizard DNA, a cross, a lizard person, half lizard person, half human? And many believe that there are multiple, if not really multiple people in our government that are running this country that are lizard people. Heavy on the lizard DNA. And that's what we call these people, these alien beings, these reptilian alien beings from other constellations. They're obviously a much higher intelligence life form, and therefore they're taking over our government. And what they want to do with our government, what they want to eventually do with our population and our planet is unknown. Are they trying to drive us into the ground so they can take over? Do they want us to exist in our current form because we're so easy to manipulate? Well, here are the signs of someone who is possessed by a reptile from outer space. And as I read these, I want everybody to think of one person in particular that almost fits this description to a T, and he may be a professional head football coach in this town. Predominance of green or hazel eyes that change color like a chameleon, but also blue. Piercing eyes. True red or reddish hair. Low blood pressure. Keen sight or hearing. This certain head coach doesn't wear glasses as far as I know. UFO connections. Love of space and science. Capability to disrupt electrical appliances. We've seen his headset go out on the sidelines many times. Deep compassion for fate of mankind. We all believe he's a good man. I'm talking about Jason Garrett. That's right. I am here this evening saying that the evidence is overwhelming that the Cowboys are being coached by a reptilian alien from outer space. It's 8:27. You're listening to Coast. Coming up next, we are going to visit with the preeminent Bigfoot expert in North America, the great Larry Batson.
From an undisclosed location in the kingdom of Plain Night, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program. Be warned, this is the radio show the government doesn't want you to hear. And now, here's the provocative and popular Junior Miller.
And welcome back to segment two of Coast to Coast from an undisclosed location here at the Ticket Compound. We last did Coast to Coast in December, and as you know, a favorite topic on this show has been the topic of Bigfoot. Well, joining us in December was the man that I refer to as the preeminent Bigfoot expert in North America, and he joins us again on the Ticket Hotline. We say good evening to Larry Batson. I hope that's okay that I call you the preeminent Bigfoot expert in North America.
Well, that's cool. Thanks for having me back on. We have made so many friends the last time we had a chance to visit, so this is very cool.
Yeah, we got such a great response from our listening audience, and when we were telling everyone we were doing Coast to Coast again here during our compound that our station does every year, they wanted me to get you back on, so we have you back on. And if there's anything you want to plug, a website, or I hope you have a new book coming out or something like that, I'll give you the forum to do that now.
Well, we've got a wonderful Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, with lots of animal stuff, lots of fun. And right now we have our DVD of our program we did with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on Bigfoot that's available. So they make a connection with Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. We're cool, and they can find out about just about everything about us.
Okay, that's great. You know, there are a couple of Bigfoot sighting websites out there, and I'm sure you've perused these, and I check them from time to time. And I guess I ask you, how do we verify these sightings? How do we know which ones are real and which ones are just being made up by high school kids?
Well, that's the problem. The Internet is a great information network, but as far as the Sasquatch or Bigfoot saga, I believe it's kind of hurt it in a way that you could just make stuff, you could sit home on your computer and just make up stories and put them on the Internet. So There are some credible people. Believe me, that Todd Stannings, he has a video out on Netflix now. It's pretty amazing. So, people, if you haven't had a chance to watch that, that's pretty spectacular, I'm told. I haven't had a chance to see it yet, but I know Todd, and I think he's a very credible investigator.
If somebody comes to you and they say, I've seen a Bigfoot, can you sniff out a real sighting from a fake?
Yeah, usually, pretty much. And it doesn't happen that often, you know, especially face-to-face, because most people that I consider credible have no reason to want the fame or whatever would come with having a Bigfoot sighting and having it publicized. Most of them, they contact me because I work with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I kind of keep it low-key, and they get with me because they know I'm going to take them seriously, they hope. And I can talk to them for about 5 minutes and pretty much decide whether it's a good or a bad one.
And if I remember correctly from our last visit, the Patterson film being the most famous of all Bigfoot being captured on film, you believe in the credibility of that, am I not mistaken?
Oh, that's completely true. That's a Sasquatch or a Bigfoot. That's what they look like, and that's still the best film. It's been over, gosh, 40-some years plus. And Bob Gimlin, who is half of that, is a very good friend of mine, and I've had several conversations with him, and he pretty much sticks to the same story, and he has no reason to lie to me because we are good friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like when I watch it, and I've watched it thousands of times, it looks really, really real, for lack of a better word. It looks, if I'm a skeptic, I'm having a hard time picking that apart because it's so clear and so obvious.
Well, there's certain things, the gait of the walk, the length of the different appendages, its arms, its forearms, it can't be duplicated, it can't be faked. And I know people that were there right after the sighting, Bob Titmus for sure, and he trailed that thing up through the mountains and for some ways, and he realized, well, that's pretty fruitless, because it had been 4 or 5 days since film had been shot. But he tracked it for some distance. In fact, he realized that thing got up to the top of that hill there on the right side of the video and basically sat down and watched those guys as they were making plaster cast. But the big thing about it is there was more than one Sasquatch that Gimlin and Patterson were after, because they found three different sizes of footprints. So there's three different animals. Huh. So anybody that I've talked to, because why doesn't the thing just make up one of this first scene, just go up into the timber?
Right.
Well, it's an old trick. Birds use it. You know, if they have a nest or young ones on the ground or in a tree, they try to divert the enemy. And this is exactly what this thing was doing. It was staying out in the open to get their attention. And so they wouldn't pursue the two others that were in the woods probably within 50 yards where those guys were standing, and they never saw it.
Oh, that's fascinating. Wow. And the other thing I've thought about it because I've seen the film so many times, but you just mentioned how the arms are so long. They're not the length of a human who's portraying a Bigfoot or something like that. Typically, what's the wingspan of the average male adult Bigfoot?
Well, we've had reports of animals up to 12 feet tall and weights of 700-800 pounds.
Wow.
And, yeah, I mean, that's a big animal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a... And I always kind of get a kick out of, you know, these things live in very remote areas. Mm-hmm. People say, why have they ever brought one in? Well, let me tell you something. You're dealing with an 800-pound animal that's far more coordinated and athletic than we could ever imagine.
Right.
And basically, people in the wild are pretty puny. It doesn't take much of an injury for us to succumb. So something like this, it's just... It's, I don't know how to put it. They're just bad whammer jammers. That's the way I look at it.
This is Larry Batson. He's the premier, preeminent Bigfoot expert in North America, joining us again on Junior Coast to Coast. And is there a story out there of the closest we've ever come to actually capturing one, or are there 100 stories of people that say, I almost captured a Bigfoot?
There are no stories of people thought that try to capture one. Zero. None.
Just because
now,
it's too impossible.
They've shot one before. but they just didn't get the corpse out of the forest. Because here's the thing, I have a good friend who has a cabin. Well, it's 5 miles south of the Canadian border in Washington State, and he has numerous encounters with them. And he had a friend stay at that cabin, and he warned him. He said, "Now, be aware that there are Sasquatches in these forests." So he's the guy's going to spend a weekend. He looks out one afternoon out the one window, and he can see one standing next to a tree watching the house. So he's saying, "What in the world?" So he grabs a rifle, and he just wants to scare it off. He's just going to shoot the tree the thing's standing by. Well, he wasn't that great a shot. He caught this thing right below the eye. It dropped to the ground instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And he said within 10 seconds, here come another one, threw it up over his shoulder and carried it back into the woods.
Wow. So they take care of their own.
They would have to. I mean, because all animals, of course, which is pretty naive to say, die. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a very large body. But Mother Nature has a way for animals to decompose quickly. But I think it's one step further. I don't think they leave that sort of thing around. They just, you know, they hide it. And so Mother Nature takes over from there and decomposes the body. There's been skeletons found in different parts of the country that anthropologists have said, this is a large human-like skeleton. It's not human, but it's large human-like.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been found. They can't identify it, so it just doesn't go any further. People ask, what about DNA? Well, there's been hairs that have been collected in Northern California, Oregon, and Washington, and all the scientists will tell you, unknown primate. That's it.
That's as far as they go.
They can't go any farther because, you know, they would be killing their credibility because, you know, we don't know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
You know, in the last segment, we had a list of the percentage of the population that believes in fill in the blank. For example, 50% of the U.S. population believes there was a conspiracy to kill JFK. And near the bottom of the list, 14% of the population believes in Bigfoot. And I was surprised it was that low. Now, that's still 30 million Americans or something. It's still a big number. But are you surprised the number is that low? And when we seem to want to believe so much out there, why do you think certain people have a mental block about believing in Bigfoot?
Well, they have the idea that we know everything that lives in the forest and lakes and oceans. We don't, because new species are discovered every day.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone that has done any type of research or spent any time looking into this subject, their thoughts, their attitude changes dramatically. I mean, even some of the programs I've given, I've had people come up to me after I've given a Bigfoot lecture, and they said, "Wow!" I said, "I've never heard it from that angle before." And I spoke to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. I had an audience of conservationists, naturalists, park rangers, Secret Service people in Shepherdstown, West Virginia, and there was about 250 people. The place was full. I think it seated about 250. And at the end of my programs, I always say, "How many of you folks out there think this is a big load of crap?" With that group of scientists and law enforcement and forest people, one hand went up, and that one person was someone that just wanted to give me a hard time I knew very well.
Great. I love hearing that. That's great.
Yeah, and after I gave the program, that was in 2009, I got so many emails from park people, naturalists, rangers. They were always afraid to talk about it because when I did my initial broadcast, it was aired out to over 1,200 outlets for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service own. And they told me that was the most popular, most viewed broadcast they've had of anything.
Wow.
And they've had Jane Goodall, and you name it, and George Schaller, the zoologist from his research, snow leopards. So I thought, really? And they said, oh, by far. And I've gone in the NCTC, National Conservation Training Center, just stopped off, maybe stayed a night. They have a TV system in there, and I've never stopped there and just to lay over that darn video wasn't airing. I go, my gosh.
See, that's great. There's this inherent curiosity amongst us all about Bigfoot, and I think that proves it. This may be a very hard question for you to answer because it's probably all over the board, but Have you ever tried to figure out roughly what the IQ of the average Sasquatch is?
Well, let me put it this way. People walking into the forest, we are idiots. We are morons. We are the lowest on the totem pole.
Like, you mean when we're on their turf or just in general?
Just in general. Oh, when we're on their turf, it's even lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do not go into the forest and these things have seen you, and they'll see you before you will see them. That they know what you're up to. Mm-hmm. I always told people that are researching Sasquatch, and I talk to a lot of different people, these groups, there's so many organizations and groups now on the subject. I say, if you're going out in the field, don't wear camouflage. Because for one thing, do you think this thing could not see you? Are you crazy?
Right.
Also, that marks you as a hunter, someone that has guns.
Right.
I said, if you're going to go on a Bigfoot research, let me give you a little clue. Go out and buy a couple, three Hawaiian shirts, take your kids with you, set up a campsite, hang up your Chinese lanterns. Don't even think about the subject. And more than likely, if you're in an area, they'll show up.
Right. What do you think their numbers are in North America?
Thousands. Especially when you get up into Canada where there's, if you look at the sightings for the different provinces of Canada, wherever the sightings are, there's always a small town or a bigger city in that area. And then you look at billions and billions and billions of acres of just trees and animals.
Mm-hmm.
So that the population of Alaska and Canada could be unsurmountable. And even just think, they've decided to live in places like northern Pennsylvania and northern Ohio, where the acreage of wilderness is not nearly as big. So up there in Canada, you get into Ontario and Alberta, Saskatchewan, and British Columbia, it's immense.
Yeah.
There's a gazillion places for them to. And anyone that thinks they know every animal that exists in those forests, they're just fooling themselves. They just don't know what they're talking about.
Yep. Are they happy with their existence, where they are, or do you believe they want more? Like, could they ever turn aggressive and descend upon a town and try to take over the town, or are they happy with how their life is as is?
Well, that episode would never happen. I truly believe that. But let's keep in mind, there are people that are disappeared in the forest and never been seen again. And I have a report from an Indian reservation up in Northern California where three young men that went out to run salmon traps or lines, they found them. One had been basically beat to death, grabbed by his ankles and beat to death under a tree. One had been completely dismembered, and one was put under a pile of rocks, all killed. Now, I'm also investigating these reports from soldiers in Afghanistan that are encountering a Sasquatch there that's very, very aggressive. So, you know, something that big, well, how could they not, you know, be that way?
Right.
I mean, well, we have a report right here in Indiana. Two young guys were shot at something walking in the woods, and they didn't actually see it. So they run. It's almost dark. They're running back to their trucks, but something's running beside him, but a little bit faster. Well, that something run beside him got back to their trucks before they did, and literally beat all the windows out of their pickup.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that power. It's that strength. It's, as I'm learning tonight, the intelligence that makes them frightening, but they're also fascinating. And I don't want to ever go to war with them because
we would lose.
Yes. I hope the population, if they ever become a little more accessible, I hope the human population doesn't turn on them.
Well, that will never ever happen. They're pretty much got us sized up pretty good.
Yeah.
And the encounters with us usually has not been good.
Yeah.
So firearms or whatever, but I think someone, if you encounter one in the forest and have a chance to really get a good look at something like that, they should sit around and thank their lucky stars that they have seen one of the rarest mammals we have living in the United States. So rare that science, even after 50, 60 years, refused to acknowledge it. Well, I'm going to tell them something here real quick. They're real. They're here. And I have too many good friends over the years that have told me wonderful, amazing stories that I have no reason not to believe them.
Amen to that, Larry. It's always a treat to have you on the show. Why don't you plug that Facebook page once again, and we'll have all of our listeners go there and like it for you.
Oh, that'd be fantastic. Larry the Animal Guy and Friends. And you pop up on there, and I'll give you... I see a Texas address. You're in. You're in for sure. We love Texas. We made lots of friends last time.
Awesome. That's great. Larry, I can't thank you enough. It's always a pleasure to visit with you.
Thank you very, very much.
That is the great Larry Batson. Yeah, go to that Facebook page and like it. Great of him to join us again. I get chills listening to some of those stories. It's 8:52 here on Coast to Coast. And coming up next, a ticket employee tells us about a recent encounter with a UFO.
From an undisclosed location in the kingdom of Wayne Knight, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program. Be warned, this is the radio show the government doesn't want you to hear. And now, here's the provocative and popular Junior Miller.
Welcome back to Junior Coast to Coast. This is segment three. Our thanks to Larry Batson, the preeminent Bigfoot expert in North America, for joining us last segment. I'm sure that segment will stay with you for a while. Some great stories from Larry. One of our favorite top... Look at that, Jason. Seven government drones overhead trying to figure out what we're doing down here. Jason is our engineer. Is the cumulus cloaking device still working?
Yes, sir, but the battery is low.
That's enough. One of our favorite topics here on Junior Coast to Coast is the topic of UFOs, and it just so happens that a ticket staff member has had a recent encounter with a UFO. Now, we're going to protect his or her identity, and we're going to change his or her name for this segment. So let us welcome to the program a Joyce Durham. Good evening.
Good evening, and thank you for changing my voice back at the station so no one can recognize it.
Yeah, we'll get on that here in a moment. It may take a few minutes. Anyway, tell us about this encounter. It was in the middle of nowhere, am I right?
Middle of nowhere, West Texas, last November. I was deer hunting with some family members and friends.
Mm.
And yes, we were out a good 4 hours west of Fort Worth, so way out in the middle of nowhere. And after a day of hunting, it was nighttime. And one of my friends was out grilling. And my voice is being affected, right? So no one can...
Nobody has any idea who you are right now.
Because since this incident, I swear, I've got to tell you, I think I'm being followed.
Really?
Yeah.
I just got chills.
I don't know who it is, but I think I'm being followed. It's just, I see mysterious vehicles in my rear view, and if I ever stop and get out, they just mysteriously take a right or left and vacate the scene, and it's very suspicious. But
I don't want to jump ahead, but are you trying to tell us that the government knows that you've seen a UFO and they are following you to perhaps eliminate you? It's not the aliens that are following you taking human form because they know you've spotted them.
I don't know. I wouldn't rule that out. Because what I saw that night looked well beyond anything that a human on this earth could be capable of. And that is, my friend alerted all of us to look into the sky as he was out there grilling. He told us to come outside of our hunting cabin. And he said, look to the sky. And we looked to the east. We're far out west Texas. We looked to the east. And there were 10 to 15 bright lights coming at us. What looked like a low altitude.
In a straight line?
Straight line. But we didn't hear anything. And I would say it looked consistent with helicopters. And it was a straight line, about 10 to 15 of them. But there were bright, bright lights coming at us. But we didn't hear anything. No sound whatsoever. And they were all shining in just one bright light. They weren't blinking or anything. And then...
And no little red lights or anything like that.
No,
like you might
white.
Find on a plane. Nothing like that.
No, it was like Highland Park. It was all white right across the sky.
Fascinating.
And as they started to turn towards the north, they started to blink in like this sequence, like outside to inside, inside to outside. Almost like Tim McCarver had, or Phil Sims had told them to do this.
I've always suspected both of them being aliens.
Yeah.
So now it makes sense.
They're not
sense.
Of this world, I don't think. So these lights, sequentially, inside to outside, outside to inside, as they started to turn. And then as they turned, all of a sudden, magically, they seemed to be from a straight line. All of a sudden, they were at like different altitudes. It was like high, low, high, low, high, low. And then they were blinking. And again, these sequences that would go like outside to inside, inside to outside.
So the lines, when they went high, low, are you saying that the line that was straight suddenly separated?
Suddenly separated. I don't know how they would change altitude that fast, but they did. And it was all of a sudden like a different formation they were in. And then as they started going to the north, they all got back at the same altitude, and they stopped blinking. They became solid white lights again, and they went off into the distance. And I saw several reports on this, that these same lights were seen over Denver, as far north as Idaho, into West Texas and Oklahoma, the panhandle of Oklahoma. And the government's explanation was that it was a military plane exercise.
Right.
But I got to tell you, they said they were very high altitude planes.
But you didn't hear a sound.
Didn't hear a sound. And they appeared so bright that they appeared that they couldn't have been more than 2,000 or 3,000 feet up in the air.
Are they trying to say that, so you saw roughly 12 lights straight across?
Yeah.
Are they trying to say there were 12 different planes?
Yes. That's their... When it came at us, it looked like it was one big craft. And then when it turned, it did appear that it was maybe 10 to 12 different crafts that were at different altitudes, but it changed so quickly. As they turned, it was like... I mean, in 2 seconds, all of a sudden, high, low, high, low, high, low, high, low, all the way across the sky. Again, almost like a Tim McCarver pitch count picture that he would paint for you on an at-bat in the World Series.
Right.
So I don't know if it was Tim McCarver.
Possible.
Visiting from a World Series broadcast sometime before, trying to send me some sort of message. If it was Phil Sims trying to get back at CBS for dumping him for Tony Romo.
Very possible.
Or if it was something from beyond that our government said was a military plane exercise.
Highly possible. Let me ask you a couple of questions, because when people have UFO encounters, sometimes there's fallout. So did you sleep that night?
Oh, no. No, I didn't sleep that night at all, because I thought they were coming back.
Right.
And they didn't. They didn't come back.
And how would you know? Because you couldn't hear them. So you're probably in the bedroom.
Yeah.
They could be outside and you wouldn't hear
them. Maybe they did come back and I just didn't see them. But the long-term fallout, again, I've just noticed it seems like people are following me, because I have aired this before on a radio station in Dallas called The Ticket several months back. And since I did that...
That is our chief affiliate. I should probably let you know.
Oh, okay. You're on in
but
Dallas.
But we're disguising your name. Again, this is Joyce Durham joining us on
and,
Coast to Coast.
My voice is disguised, so no one will know it's me. But, yeah, and since I gave that account on that Dallas radio station that's very highly rated, it's been around for a long time.
We love it.
I've noticed... I've not been revisited by these lights, but I do think that someone is following me, as if... My account of it that morning just hit a little too close to home for somebody.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
We get that all the time on this show.
Yeah.
And it's called telling the truth, and sometimes the government doesn't like that.
And I can't swear to it, but just like in Close Encounters of the Third Kind with Richard Dreyfuss, I swear I had a sunburn the next day.
Interesting.
Now, that may have been from the afternoon sun the day before, but I don't think
probably
so.
Probably not.
Not a November sky.
No.
You're not going to get that.
That's far-fetched to think that you would get it from the sun.
Right.
It's much more likely that you would get it from a UFO.
Those lights, just like in Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Did you notice any change in your body chemistry? Did your blood pressure go up, your cholesterol, anything out of whack, your thyroid?
I've had a lot more gas.
Interesting.
Since then. And I don't know if that's just because...
That's saying something,
it's an
too,
upset.
Right?
Yeah.
It's saying quite a bit.
It is. Because I probably am more so than the average human.
I'll say.
But, yeah, I think that I've noticed a change, and that could just be my own nervousness. You know, since that night, I got to tell you, I'm not comfortable about talk. You sure my voice is being affected?
Positive, as far as you know.
Because if I go on and talk about this, and
right,
they know it's me,
they won't.
That could be it.
Yeah, there's no.
I mean, I think they move in and abduct me, and that's going to be either our government or some unknown creature has about had enough of this.
Our voice disguising system is very high tech.
Okay.
And very,
well, that makes me feel better.
It never malfunctions.
That makes me feel a little bit better. But I got to tell you, I'm worried that I'm in danger.
Let me ask you this. I'm on the website Mutual UFO Network, where the latest UFO news and sightings are reported. And here are some of the latest. Michigan witness describes disc-shaped object. Yours was not a disc-shaped
object,
no,
it was
object,
more like just
right?
round lights in a line, then a scattered line, then back in a line.
This said low-flying black disc-shaped object.
No, didn't see that.
All right, this is from Albuquerque in the last couple of weeks. A low triangle reported flying over Albuquerque.
Didn't see a triangle.
V-shaped lighting configuration. And that is according to testimony.
You know, when they got scattered, it was almost like a V, like almost like several Vs.
Okay.
So maybe there's some consistency there.
And this was Albuquerque, so similar part
it's
of the country.
Not too far from West Texas, yeah. And see, that's why these things happen out there. Nobody sees them, but about, I don't know, a dozen people.
Right.
And then no one believes those people.
Are the other people in your traveling party being followed like you are?
No, because they haven't spoken publicly like I have.
Oh,
I
right.
think I've been targeted, and I can't figure out who.
They always target the brave, the ones who are brave
enough
to come forward.
The ones who are willing to speak out, yeah.
Well, I have noticed two more government drones showing up since you arrived.
Really?
So I don't know if that's coincidence or if they're starting to move in. Last year when we did this show, they shut us down, but we're not going down without
You're
a
sure
fight
my
tonight.
Voice has been changed?
Yeah, positive.
Okay.
Yeah, we're getting the indications that it is working very well. Listen, I can't thank you enough for sharing that story. It
well,
gave
thank
me...
you for your bravery to talk about this. We need more people talking about this.
It gave me chills the whole way through.
Well, it's not easy to tell. And I hope that maybe that helps someone else come forward and tell their story. Because we've got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear a few of those in the, on the phones in the next segment. Well, Joyce, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That is the courageous Joyce Durham. Joyce Dunham. Sorry, Durham, joining us here on Junior Coast to Coast with a chilling UFO encounter story. 9:13, and coming up next here from Off the Grid and Parts Unknown, Urine Talk.
From an undisclosed location in the kingdom of Plain Night, this is Junior Coast to Coast, America's most provocative and least listened to radio program. Be warned, this is the radio show the government doesn't want you to hear. And now, here's the provocative and popular Junior Miller.
This is segment 4, scheduled to be our final segment of Junior Coast to Coast. And we've had many of our faithful listeners holding patiently on the phones. We'll get to you momentarily, but first, a favorite topic of our listeners and of mine, urine. Dateline, somewhere in Arizona, close to the Grand Canyon. This comes to us from a couple of months ago. A Pennsylvania woman was lost in a snowstorm. She was out in the middle of nowhere with her family hiking in the Grand Canyon. She gets lost. She's a survivalist, so she knows what to do. She ate some pine needles. But eventually, she got into trouble. She couldn't find her way back to camp. She was hungry. She was thirsty, even though it was cold. She said, quote, and I quote, "I was putting small balls of snow in the back of my cheek and allowing it to melt, but I also knew that if you drink your own urine, it's sterile, and that can keep you hydrated. And that is one of the strategies I employed. That's the most important part, staying hydrated and staying warm." That is a known survivalist. Her name is Karen Klein. She survived a long time in the middle of nowhere by drinking her own urine. As you know, I've been a proponent of drinking your own urine in, at the very least, emergency situations. Most listeners of this program know to keep a container or 12 of their own urine in a refrigerator somewhere near maybe their safe room, the very least their kitchen, maybe their underground shelter, their doomsday fallout location. Because in the event of an emergency, nuclear war, some kind of alien invasion, they will target our drinking supply first. And that means you need backup, and you need backup quickly. And the best form of backup is your own urine. You know where it's come from. It hasn't been contaminated. You know you can get to it quickly. You know the healing powers of it, the hydrating powers of it, the nutritional value. And you know you can survive a long time, just like survivalist Karen Klein did. How about this story? From the U.S. Army Research Laboratory, headline, Army Scientists Discover Power in Urine. They say, we as Army scientists, and I quote, develop materials and technology that will directly benefit soldiers and enhance their capabilities. We developed a new processing technique to synthesize a material which spontaneously splits water into hydrogen. We've calculated that 1 kilogram of aluminum powder can produce 220 kilowatts of energy in just 3 minutes. In space, astronauts recycle urine, because drinking water is a precious commodity. For soldiers in dire environments, there are many precious commodities. Power and energy is becoming increasingly important to run communications and electronics gear, etc. They are going to now use urine as a fuel source. And they say, and I quote, it may result in tremendous benefits for soldiers, end of quote. And finally, a new study on the internet shows that urine is much more complex than we ever dreamed it was. Urine is made up of more than 3,000 ingredients that we know about. This is after 1,500 samples of urine were studied, and it contains a ton of stuff. Hormones, salt, nutrients, creatine. There's so much more squeezed into urine than modern science originally believed, and that, ladies and gentlemen, 3,079 reasons to be exact why you should always bottle your own urine and, in case of emergency, drink it. All right, let's go to the phones. We've had a lot of our listeners patiently waiting to discuss the topics they've heard on Coast to Coast tonight, or to share
their captain,
own.
My captain?
Yes.
Our battery is extremely low on the cloaking device.
I'm wondering why the government drones have been circling even closer. Give me more power, Jason. Give me as much power as you've got to get us through the end of this segment. All right, let's go to the phones, share your paranormal experiences or questions, and we start off west of the Rockies. You're on Junior Coast to Coast. I said west of the Rockies. You're on the air.
Do you have me?
Yes.
June, thank you for your courage.
You're welcome.
I come from the future. This is John Teeter.
I thought you sounded like you were time traveling. Welcome.
Actually, I'm east of the Rockies, well in the future.
Continue.
So, I have reason to believe that Art Bell is indeed not dead.
Tell me more.
Well, I may be from the year 2036, but in the near future, I've heard somebody named Trey Ring. Does that sound like somebody you might recognize?
Trey Ring?
Yes.
No.
Well, Trey is an anagram of Art, and Ring is Bell, Art Bell.
I just got chills.
Yes, me too.
Hey, so will you do me a favor? Will you tell Trey Ring, wink, wink, hello from me?
I will. And also...
Hey, thanks for your call. We don't have time for the also. Let's go to the wild card line. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Junes?
Good evening.
Thank you for your courage, Junes. You know I love your information, and I know you don't have a lot of time. But I do believe the government doesn't want me to hear you. And it's weird. All I know is that I just got a fax that said... Call the wild card line. My boyfriend is in a plane over J-hole.
Oh, my God. Really?
And as I read further, it looks like he's got the ghost of Bill Robenstein with him.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait.
Former Mavericks big man.
I got a second fact that's coming through. Let me read it to you. It says, and I quote, Junes, can you hear me, Junes? Did you kill Art Bell?
I just got chills. Now, if anyone knows me, they know I would never kill Art Bell. But the Bill Robenstein sighting, that gave me chills. Thank you for your call and your courage. Hang in there. Don't let the government get you. Don't let the government silence us or you. Let's go to west of the Rockies. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Professor Junes.
Good evening.
Out of an abundance of precaution... I've been storing my small jars of urine inside larger jars because it's tornado season.
Very smart.
And I need a ruling from you.
Yes.
You advise us to jar our urine for future use. But on the ticket, Chuck Morgan tells us, don't jar. So I submit the following query to you, quote, and I quote, to jar or not to jar. That is the question I put to you.
Thank you for your question. And I respond to you, and I quote, there are certain rules. You should not jar certain substances, including farts. But you should always jar preserves, pickles, and urine. Thank you for your call. Let's go to the first-time caller line. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Hey, Junes.
Hi.
Are you there? Hey, Junes. Is this a secure line?
It is. All of our lines are secure, so nobody fear.
Okay, good. I got to get this off my chest. I talked to this guy at the bar the other night, and we're getting in the middle of conversation. He stops, and he goes, man, there's a lot of hot women here. And I go, well, why don't you go up and talk to one of them? He goes, I would, but I'm from an alternate universe, and in our alternate universe, we have two reproductive organs instead of one, so I don't think the women here would like it. So that made me think, would women here ever reproduce with men from alternate universes, and would they be more likely to do DVDA?
The answer is yes, and I happen to know that women here have already reproduced with men from alternate universes. I'm fascinated that you had an encounter at a bar with someone who was clearly time traveling. That's a feather in your cap, and that's a memory that you'll take to your grave?
I think so, in an alternate universe.
In an alternate universe, if graves do exist. Thank you. Let's try to squeeze in a couple more. Let's go to East of the Rockies. Hi, you're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Caden Gravely. I'm calling from Salina, Texas.
Oh, I thought you were calling from Mars.
No, that was last year.
What's up?
I actually called here 2 years ago about my ghost encounter that made me soil myself.
Oh, yes. And welcome back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I heard a urine, you know, subject, so I figured I'd go ahead and tell you my stories about that, too.
All right.
Well, it's kind of embarrassing, but so once a year, my uncle, my dad, and my grandpa and I go hunting in Palador Canyon, which I know is close to where you grew up.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we went in December, and it had snowed everywhere, and it was freezing, and I was miserable, and we come back to our trailer, and we lost all of our electricity and our heat on the fourth day of our trip. This is true, I swear. Well, we're all white trash anyway, so we weren't worried about being clean and showering or anything like
right.
that. But, I mean, I'm freezing my butt off, and I'm just trying to figure out how to drink water because we didn't get any bottled water or anything like that. We're white trash and drink out of the tap.
You bet. You bet you are.
Right. And so I'm like, well, you know, I mean, urine's an option. You know, I heard about space movies and they did that stuff and it fights against bacteria and prevents you from viral infection and stuff like
that. Please tell me you drank your own urine.
Sir, I did, and I'm not proud of it.
You should be very proud of that. Thank you for your call and your bravery. Let's try to get one more in here. Hi, Wild Card Line. You're on Junior Coast to Coast.
Wash that stuff real good.
Hello?
I like this Tupperware.
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Is this the Wild Card Line?
Oh, yeah. Damn, I forgot I was on hold. Sorry. Hey, you know, you had Joyce on earlier was telling you about a sighting, and I had a UFO hearing out at, I know this isn't as common as a sighting, but where we were out at West Texas in Midland, three coworkers, or actually two coworkers and myself, were walking across just a open yard next to a building. It's just a big tin building, mm-hmm. and we were just, you know, walking from one side to the other, and all of a sudden we just heard this, and it was something big. It didn't sound like something powered by an engine. It was just a rush of air.
Sounds like a spaceship to me.
And we just all stopped. We all heard it, and we all stopped until one of us said, and I quote, "What the hell was that?"
I just got chills.
And we tried to explain it to people, and they say, "Oh, that was a drone. You know, they can move fast."
Yeah,
no,
right.
This thing was hauling ass.
Yeah, you had a close encounter, is what you had.
I did. That's exactly what happened.
Godspeed, and thank you for sharing that story, ladies and gentlemen. We have come to the end of another edition of Junior Coast to Coast. Jason, how's the cloaking device?
Our batteries have failed, sir. They have failed.
All right. Well,
evacuate.
This is the time to sign off. We made it through the entire episode without the government shutting us down. Thank you to all of our callers, our faithful listeners. Pour one out for Mr. Art Bell tonight. Artie, wherever you are, this one was for you. Good buddy. Good night. Stay inquisitive. Stay safe. And don't ever let them silence you.